Is this the end time message? It's been very, very lovely and lively here in the studio. We've been learning a lot with the help of our pastor. I will still have a few more questions to ask him.
That's right. Okay. I'd like to ask this, sir, because of this topic of evangelism. Very, very important. The reason is we here in this local assembly believe so much in evangelism. With the coming of our Bright TV, our internet streaming and all that, what is the best way to do evangelism? What way, what form is the best at this time?
I really wish this particular aspect can be a topic of its own. Because that is where we get it wrong, especially within the end time message circle. Even though we had William Branham for an example. Now, we can pick something and learn something from the Bible in John chapter 21. In John chapter 21, we learn something here.
Okay.
Remember that Jesus Christ had risen. All the disciples didn't know. Was dead, sorry.
That's right.
He was dead and buried, and everybody has to go his own way. And here we are, verse 3. Yes.
Should I read, sir?
Remember that Jesus Christ was showing himself to his disciples after resurrection. So from verse 3, Simon Peter said unto them, I go a fishing. You see, every verse here will give us an understanding of what we are supposed to do. And that is exactly what I am applying in my ministry. Maybe somebody hearing it for the first time too will want to know this. They say unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately. And that night they caught nothing. They walked all night. They caught nothing. Verse 4. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said unto them, children, have you any meat? They answered him, no. In another narration, he said, we have toiled all night.
That's right.
And we have caught nothing. Then he said, and he said unto them, verse 6, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. Cast the net on the right side. That means they were casting their net on the wrong side.
That's right.
That's why they caught nothing. When they now cast the net on the right side, what happened?
They therefore cast.
They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes.
Wow.
Because they cast it at the right side. So what is the right side of catching a fish? Maybe they went with naked hook. Fish does not eat iron. Fish, there must be a fishing bait. You must put something inside that hook.
Attract the fish.
If not, the fish will look at it and go away. So you have to understand it. That's why Apostle Paul says something. 1 Corinthians chapter 2.
1 Corinthians chapter 2.
Verse 4 and verse 5.
Chapter 2, verse 4.
And I'll give you two or three scriptures.
Okay. Apostle Paul says in verse 4, he said, and my speech and my preaching.
My speech and my preaching
was not with the enticing words of man's wisdom.
Big grammar, Abby. Okay. But what?
Demonstration of the spirit and power.
Power.
Amen. Verse 5. That your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men.
Because that is exactly what is going on. But what?
But in the power
of God. In the power of God.
Amen.
You see that every day in our ministry.
Amen.
We went to Ilori. You remember? You followed us to Ilori.
I couldn't. But I heard testimonies.
Oh, okay. No, you didn't follow us.
I got
no, you followed to Cameroon.
Yeah, no.
Okay, you followed to Cameroon.
That was
you saw what the demonstration of the power.
Definitely.
When I finished preaching, so that they will confirm to them. They were all old intermittent pastors that have been there before my ministry started. Mm-hmm. And they're opening their mouth to see God healing somebody. Mm-hmm. I am bringing somebody out and say, as I finished, the Lord ministered to me. He sees somebody here who is sick. Mm. She was sitting down.
That's right.
And so I would have known. Mm-hmm. I went to her. I said, you stand up. What was I operating first and foremost?
Word of knowledge.
Word of knowledge.
That's right. Amen.
And then she kept, you are sick. She said, yes. Mm-hmm. I think I even mentioned the leg also.
Exactly.
And the pastor confirmed later that he had to encourage her to come. She said she would not be able to come because of the excruciating pain she had been suffering for
that's
a long
right.
time.
That's right.
Instantly, God healed her.
Instantly.
You saw the one that was possessed. And exactly. Was, I mean,
the power of God.
Amen. Why would they not believe? After that, you see the number of people that went to baptize.
Definitely. Next day.
There's another scripture again, Romans 15, the same Apostle Paul. Verse 18 and verse 19.
Chapter 15. Wow. Romans 15, 18 and 19.
Yes.
And it says, for I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ had not wrought by me.
See the boasting of a minister of God.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. To make the Gentiles obedient by the word and deed.
That is it. That is the purpose.
That's right.
So that they will listen to him, they will obey. Read on.
Verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders.
How did he achieve it?
Through mighty signs
mighty
and wonders.
Signs and wonders.
By the power of the Spirit of God.
Uh-huh.
So that from Jerusalem and round about unto El Jericho, I have
fully
preached the gospel of Christ.
Mighty signs and wonders.
By the power of the Spirit of God.
My.
First Corinthians chapter 1 again. You hear Paul make that boast. Verse 17.
Chapter 1. Verse 17. Amen. It says, for Christ sent me not to baptize.
Now what that scripture means is not to be doing only water baptism.
Okay.
That's the meaning of that scripture.
Amen. Amen.
Because Paul baptized.
That's yes, right.
So he's saying that Christ did not send him everywhere he go now. Water baptism. But to do what?
But to preach the gospel.
Uh-huh.
Not with wisdom of words.
Not with wisdom of words.
Lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect.
Oh. You see now. So he went to chapter 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 4.
Hallelujah.
And verse 20.
It says, for the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power.
In power.
Hallelujah.
In power.
Amen.
Can we take another scripture again?
Definitely.
In 1 Thessalonians chapter 1.
Chapter 1.
And verse 5.
Chapter 1, verse 5. Okay. 1 Thessalonians 1 verse 5. It says, for our gospel came not unto you in words only.
The gospel did not come unto you, Thessalonians.
Mm. In words
in
only.
In word only.
But also in power.
Also in what?
Power.
In power.
And in the Holy Ghost.
Okay now.
And in much assurance as ye know what manner of men we were among you for your sake.
Now. Because they have reduced coming together. Do you know what is convention? Have you attended inter-message convention?
No, sir.
No.
From beginning for 4 days, 5 days, this speaker upon speaker, speaker upon speaker, speaker upon speaker. And people are sitting down there with problems. Demonic attacks, sicknesses and the rest. And all they come and tell you is, the closest to anything healing is to come and speak about faith. Believe. Believe. But that person that is speaking faith, believe, is not demonstrating faith.
Mm-hmm.
Because faith is a power.
That's right.
Faith is practical. If I teach you faith, then I must give you an example of exploits I have done by faith to make you understand. But what are they going? Brother Abraham said, Brother Abraham did, Brother Abraham said, Brother Abraham did. But because you yourself have no personal testimony, you have to hang on Brother Abraham say, and Brother Abraham say. Yet, Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And anywhere I go, we close that message, that program, with the baptism of the Holy Ghost. For that is the time for the demonstration of the power.
Amen.
I don't believe that a Christian should come to church sick and go back sick. I don't believe it.
Amen.
Ah, no, 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 no. How can? Now we're talking about the right way to evangelize. Let's go back to John chapter 21.
Amen.
That's the problem many of us in the end time message have.
John 21.
Yes.
I will stop at verse 6.
Now verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved, who is that person?
That's John.
John. Oh, everybody knows that. Said unto Peter, it is the Lord. Because it will take God for crowd to come now.
That's right.
Hey. Do you understand? For this to happen, this is God. This is God.
That's right.
This is God. It is the Lord. Now, when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he got his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself unto the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with the fishes. Goodness me. Dragging the net with the fishes. Now, see where I'm going. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw what?
A fire.
They saw what?
A fire of coals
there, and what? Fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus said unto them, what did he say unto them?
Bring of the fish which ye have now caught.
When you catch a fish, you get comfort. Who are you taking them to? Bring them to the Lord Jesus.
Amen.
But they bring people to William Branham. Do you understand?
Amen.
You know, that is the mistake. They bring people. They bring people to William Branham. His picture is hanging at the altar. They begin to tell you about William Branham.
Even his favorite food.
But Jesus said, bring them to me. Bring those fishes that you caught. Bring them to me. Okay, let's read on. Verse 11. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land, full of great fishes, and 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. It cannot be broken.
That's right. Amen.
There's always room. Then said unto them, come and dine. Come and dine. Come and dine. Only Jesus baptizes with the Holy Ghost and fire. Bring them to him. You saw the coal of fire.
That's right.
You saw the fishes for him to roast with that fire.
That's
right. This is it. This fish is supposed to come and be roasted with fire. The baptism of the Holy Ghost. The real reviver. If you bring them to him.
The Lord Jesus.
And why did you bring them to him? Then, what did he say? Come and
dine.
It is when they come, they receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost and fire. It is then you can give them the spiritual food, the word.
Amen.
There is the word that establishes. There is the word that attracts. Now, let's read on. And none of the disciples doth ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread. Can you see?
Amen.
And give it them, and fish likewise.
That's right.
This is now, how many times?
The third time.
That Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. The third time speaks of the third pool.
Amen.
Do you understand?
That's right.
Because it is at the third pool that the big fish is caught.
That's right.
I believe you catch that.
Yes, sir. Definitely.
So that is the order for evangelism. That is the order to win souls to Christ. And the denominations catch it. But instead of bringing them to Christ, they win them to membership of church.
So without power, you should not go out and say
evangelize. Don't go out and say evangelize when you don't have any power gift to show for it.
Amen.
Cast the net on the right side.
Yes.
On the right side, not on the wrong side.
No, cast it on the wrong side.
Okay, that is evangelism. Finally, sir, there's something that in a few months now has been raining amongst us, especially we followers of your ministry.
Yes.
And it has been causing serious shaking in the entire message. That's the issue of the seventh star messenger. No, before this particular thing came up, we've always believed that William Branham is the star messenger to the seventh church age. Mm. Everybody will go back to the issue of how the pillar of fire came back and wrote the names and pulled Branham. And then, of a sudden, Pastor Moses came up. Now, let me talk like a message pastor. Brother Moses came up and said, William Seymour is the star messenger, the seventh church age messenger. Mm. This is a hard saying.
Who can hear this?
So I'm sure everybody will be wanting you to make more comments concerning this particular thing. Even among followers of your ministry, there are a lot of shaking, a lot of disagreements, a lot of what is pastor saying, I agree, I disagree, what is going on?
You know, you see, we must not be parrots.
Like that word.
Revelation is progressive.
Amen. Hallelujah. Mm.
William Branham's ministry is not understood. Mm. William Branham's ministry goes beyond the seventh star messenger.
Mm. Okay.
It goes beyond that.
All right, sir.
The work William Branham is come to do in the seventh church age is higher than the work the seventh church age messenger will do. The seventh church age messenger, William Branham, because we must have to, I'll continue to repeat it. And I know I stand the risk of being called names.
That's true.
And things like that. But when you are sure of where you stand, you don't care what people say.
Sir, pardon me for cutting you off, sir. To properly put things well, are you saying William Seymour is the seventh church age messenger?
Now, you will have to answer me now. Now.
Okay.
Now, tell me, who is the fifth church age messenger?
Martin Luther.
What was the message he had?
The just shall live by faith. Justification.
Eh?
Justification.
Who is the sixth church age messenger?
John Wesley.
What was the message he brought?
Holiness, sanctification.
The restoration of the gifts, which is the third work of grace. It was done in the seventh church age.
Yes, sir.
Through who did God bring it?
William Seymour.
So where will you place William Seymour?
Okay.
Do you understand?
All right, sir.
Now, take note that even William Seymour, his move was as guilty as the move of Wesley, as guilty as the move of Martin Luther, because they denominated.
Okay.
Therefore, it necessitated the ministry of William Branham. In the seventh church age. So he is the householder. In verse 52
of
Matthew chapter 13. That is where William Branham's ministry is. So he brought together justification people, that is Lutherans, the Wesleyans, and this age, the Pentecostal age, the restoration of the gifts. And brought all their mistakes and brought it out to them and told them, you can't justify it, you must be cleansed, sanctified, and you must receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's a complete three works of grace that a woman took in Matthew 13 verse 33 and took leaven, wrong doctrine, and corrupted it. God used three men in the last three ages of the seven church ages.
So, sir, I'm asking clearly, yes, so that there won't be any controversy about it again. So, the seven stars, then the seventh star is William Seymour.
I believe so.
Wow. Okay.
Now, if you believe otherwise, now prove it to me.
William Branham, the householder. Sir, there's usually a scripture to balance.
Okay, let me hear you.
There's usually a scripture from the Old Testament or something we look at from the scripture to balance any explanation we give, especially to the seven church ages.
Yes.
So what scripture or what story or what type or what shadow can you show us that would balance this statement, that will really, you know, separate the seven-star messenger from the ministry of William Branham?
I will start from Jesus himself. Because Jesus kept speaking about the kingdom, but this is how it will be. He's speaking of the seven church ages. This is how it will be. This is how it will be. The parable of the growing seed in Mark chapter 4, from verse 26. What is it? The seed that was planted. It died first, isn't it?
That's
yes,
right.
Sir.
When did it die?
At Nicaea.
At Nicaea, that produced the almost 1,000 years of the dark ages.
That's right. Yes,
and at midnight, there was a cry made.
Amen.
We have always thought that cry is the shout that Apostle Paul spoke, and that is the ministry of William Branham.
Mm-hmm.
But the shout was to the sleeping virgins.
At midnight,
and that is the darkest hour of the Christian faith.
Yeah.
And the darkest hour of the Christian faith was the dark ages. Just then, a voice came up. What was his message? It's come out of Catholicism.
That's true.
And in the fifth church age, he is that ministry that the Spirit of God said, touch not the oil and the wine. You try to come up before that period, they kill you. But when he started, came out, nobody could touch him. God raised up a defense for him.
That's right.
And you know that is the greatest injury that was done to the Catholic system, to that beast.
That's right. Very true.
Although we know the beast will be healed again, but it was given a deadly blow when Protestantism began from Luther. So therefore, for you to ascribe the shout to William Branham would be wrong. He is part of the shout, but he's not the only shout. The shout started from Luther. Now, the plant is dead. What is the first thing that shoot out?
The blade.
That is Luther. Because the three works of grace is now beginning to be restored. Luther. After Luther, what was the next thing that came up? The ear. What is he speaking of? John Wesley. That's the sixth church age.
Yes, sir.
After that, what happened? The corn. The corn in the ear.
The corn in the ear, rather.
That is the third stage. But that stage, there are four stages there.
Hallelujah.
After that, there is the fruit that is
brought forth.
So there is a fruit bringing. Why? Which fruit? Because there is something that was planted. It has to be produced.
Amen.
And it is only the ministry of William Branham that brought the totality of the word and gave us. That will give us a semblance of what was planted from the day of Pentecost before it was killed at Nicaea. So, William Branham's ministry is not
church age messenger.
It's not church age messenger. It goes beyond that. That's what I'm trying to say. But it takes place in the fourth,
in the seventh
church age.
Okay.
So if you call him the seventh church age messenger, now you'll be talking about two messengers.
Okay.
Now there cannot be two messengers, or you have to throw away William Simon.
Okay.
And then be honest with yourself. The gifts were restored through the ministry of William Simon. If not, we'll have the Pentecostal age now. When that was done, then it necessitated a ministry. that will now come together and bring all this to come back the full word that was planted. That is one. We saw it again in the book of Esther.
Okay.
Esther. Amen.
Is this the end time message?
Is this the end time message?
In the book of Esther, I said, take note. Verse 9.
What chapter, sir?
Chapter 1, sorry. From verse 9. Also, Vashta the queen made a feast for the women in the royal house, which belonged to King Ahasuerus. Anybody watching for the first time, go read the story of Esther and why the queen Vashta was put away, and there was a need for her replacement. Verse 10, on the seventh day, when the heart of the king was merry with wine, he commanded seven people, Mehuman, Bista, Habona, Bigta, and Abatha, Zeta, and Carcass, the seven chamberlains that served in the presence of Ahasuerus the king, to bring Vashta the queen before the king with the crown royal, to show the people and the princes her beauty, for she was fair to look on. Okay? They were brought. Let's go to chapter 2 now. Chapter 2.
Amen.
Okay. If you read it from verse 5, get down to verse 7. And he brought up Hadassah, that is Esther. That is Mordecai brought Esther. His uncle's daughter. For she had neither father nor mother, and the maid was fair and beautiful, whom Mordecai, when her father and mother were dead, took for his own daughter. So it came to pass, when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were gathered together unto Shushan the palace, to the custody of Haggai.
Okay.
Take note that among those seven, there is
no Haggai.
No Haggai. That Esther was brought also unto the king's house to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. And the maiden pleased him, and she obtained kindness of him, of Haggai. And he speedily gave her her things for purification, with such things as belonged to her, and the seven maidens which were meet to be given her out of the king's house. And he preferred her and her maids unto the best place of the house of the women. Verse 12. Now when every man's turn was come to go into King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of women, for so were the days of their purification accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh and 6 months with sweet odors, and when other things, and with other things, for the purifying of the women. Thus came every maiden unto the king, whatsoever she desired was given her to go with her out of the house of the women unto the king's house. In the evening she went, and on the morrow she returned unto the second house of the women. To where?
To the custody of Shash Ashgaz,
the king's chamberlain, which kept the concubines. She came in unto the king no more, except the king delighted in her, and that she were called by name. Let me break this thing down for us. We saw seven in chapter 1. Yeah, we saw seven chamberlains.
That's right.
With their names. Hege was not there.
Yes, sir.
Hege is a type. The seven and type of the seven church age staff messengers. Haggai is another chamberlain with a special duty. He's a type of William Branham. That in this age, God used with all the vindications and everything, you know, with the things that will perfect the saints in this age. But the denominations and all their leaders, I mean, the denominational people They refused. They wanted it their own way, not the way he wanted them. So, there is another ministry known as the Ministry of Shash Ashgars. They are the denominational leaders that keep these maidens.
Okay.
That want to serve God their own way.
The concubines.
The concubines. All this is in the seventh church age. Haggai. It was when they reject the message of Haggai that Shashgaz, as another ministry, Shashgaz have to take care of them. So you can see Haggai's ministry is William Branham, tapping William Branham's ministry.
Yeah. That's great, sir. Wow. So, well, our pastor has said a lot. William Seymour is the seventh church age messenger. We know it's a hard saying, but don't fall down.
It's racial. You know, these things are promoted by the West, the Oyibo people. The input of harm. Africa has an input in the process of salvation. God, in his wisdom, made sure the three sons of Noah are properly covered. William Simon is the input of harm.
Okay. Amen. That's why we asked the question earlier. Is this the end time message? What you've been believing before is that William Branham is the star messenger to the seventh, the church age messenger. But now we can see that we have two messengers in the seventh church age. One is the church age
two
messenger.
Ministries.
Two ministries.
Thank you.
Two ministries. One of the seventh church age messenger, which is William Seymour.
Yes.
And then that of the Elijah that is to restore all things.
Thank you.
Which is William Aaron Brown.
Thank you.
And our pastor has made it clear that William Brown's ministry is higher than the seven church age messengers.
It's higher. Okay. Higher.
There was something you said the last time.
Sorry, now, maybe you will say, does it mean that he's the eighth church age? It's not. It's all within the seven church age.
I remember the last time we in the second part of this.
The rapture will never take place
okay.
until the ministry of perfection. And that perfection ministry is the minister of William Branham. Because the seed has to be produced.
Amen.
That's the only, I mean, the fruit, the seed that was planted has to be produced again in the fruit.
That's right.
The totality of the word, the totality of the word. And William Simeon only came with the gifts. You didn't talk about any other thing other than speaking tongue and then the gifts and things like that. But you see, William Branham, you never hear Simeon speak about water baptism.
That's
never
true.
Hear him talk about Godhead.
That's true.
All these errors, and William Branham re-emphasized the mystery of iniquity to let us know what to watch against and not be partaker of the Antichrist system.
Hallelujah.
Okay, my question I was going to ask is, the last episode we had, you made mention of a particular statement, and I want you to also, add it also. You said something about the ministry of William Branham being that of the Elijah ministry and like John the Baptist in Malachi 4. There was a prophecy for the Malachi gave.
Yes.
And you pointed out to us that William Branham's ministry is of that order.
Yes.
No, I want you to...
Restoration. It is a restoration. I keep saying, the ministry of William Branham, the vindication of that ministry is not the signs and the wonder. People waste so much time talking about the anointing, talking about that. It's all attraction. He had a message. The message is, come out of her, my people. Come where? Come and be perfected. So what is his ministry? What makes him a prophet is that it is, thus saith the Lord. Come out of her, my people. That is what makes him a prophet. It's not discernment that makes him a prophet, because many more people are discerning now and call themselves prophet. But not a prophecy to the bride of Christ worldwide. It's come out of her. That is what makes him a prophet, because it is thus saith the Lord. The ministry, the prophecy is not Godhead. The prophecy is not a mystery of iniquity. The prophecy is come out and come here. When you come here, you will come to all the mysteries that are here.
Amen.
Yes.
Okay, I think on this particular topic, we've been able to strike a balance. We've been able to bring it
That's
home.
That's right.
because a lot now has changed. But Second Corinthians 13, verse 8 says, for we can do nothing against the truth.
But for the truth.
For the truth. It's an hard saying, but as we read earlier when we began this episode today, study to show thyself approved. And also, we should not just study, we should study prayerfully also. Because we know this will cause a lot of shaking. What we believe so for so long, and somebody is coming to say, but we can do nothing against the truth.
We can do nothing against the truth.
And someone said, to succeed, we must break the change the status quo.
Change the status quo.
Amen.
May the Lord allow the Holy Ghost to lead us. Allow it.
Mm.
The unity of the faith for the entire message people to unite together is to go back to the Bible. That's all.
Amen.
Amen.
When you see me doing anything, challenge me by the Bible.
Mm.
You see me doing anything, you feel I'm wrong, challenge me to tell me which scripture I am breaking. God bless you.
Okay, Pastor, wow. We are so grateful. In fact, this episode is for me, not for the viewers. Because I've been able to, I now have a proper understanding of this and I can defend this properly.
That's
now.
Right.
So we are so happy and grateful to have you with us, sir. It's always a pleasure, sir, and a privilege. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you.
And our viewers, you've read it yourself. Study to show yourself approved. Rapture Watch, right on Bright TV, every Thursday by 8 p.m. God bless you.
Shalom.
See you in the Rapture.